Sports Podcast with Asmer Begovic.
Welcome to another episode of Season of Sports with me, Asmer Begovic, where in this episode, we're going to be talking about one of the more recent big stories in the world of football, and that's the promotion of Leeds United to the Premier League. And I've got a special guy here joining me, Baron Cross, who's a sports writer for Leeds United Live. Who better than you, Baron, to talk about Leeds United and their current promotion?
Yeah, it's a massive, massive story. And I think once they were promoted on Friday evening when West Brom lost at Huddersfield, my timeline on Twitter just completely exploded. And I think when you find out how much Leeds means to people and you see people who you didn't even knew cared tweeting about it, I mean, it is just an enormous story. And those of us who are old enough to remember them at the turn of the century, obviously making the semi-finals of the Champions League, that's my generation. And obviously before that, you've got them winning the top flight title the year before the Premier League came into existence in the early 90s. And of course, going way back, Don Revie's era in the 60s and 70s was enormous. They were the biggest club in Europe. So it's a big story, you know. And aside from football, Leeds is, you know, in the top five biggest cities in the UK. It's a one club city, so there's no rivalries. It's just one city behind one club. And they need to be in the Premier League, really. A city of that size should be a top six Premier League club. And thankfully, after years of mismanagement and bad decisions, Andrea Radrazzani's been the man to deliver that promotion.
Well, when we talk about sleeping giants in the world of sport or in the world of football, I guess over the last 15 years, Leeds United have been that because, as you say, I remember Leeds United very well. Early 2000s being one of the top teams in Europe, let alone England, you know, competing against the absolute best. You talk about Champions League semi-finals, the players, the squad that they had. And, you know, I've got friends who are Leeds United fans, so I understand the passion that people have for that club. I understand what that club means to the local community. And I think that's where I want to go back a little bit was, you know, this is 16 years of wait. You know, it all started early 2000s. You talk about being relegated, financial trouble. I mean, bring us back a little bit to that time and how difficult that sort of period was for the town and for the club and all the fans involved.
As you say, Asmir, it was a huge, huge story and quite a tragic fall from grace, you know, from the highs of being in the semi-finals of the Champions League with some of Europe's best players. Unfortunately, the finances of that expenditure just caught up with them, and it was an amazing fall through the divisions. They dropped into the Championship and were very, very close to returning to the Premier League in 2006. So there was the possibility there that they may have got back a little bit sooner. And if they had got through that playoff final, who knows how things would have been different. But they missed out on that one chance. And from there on, they slipped down as far as the third division in England in League One and didn't even leave League One quickly. You know, they were 3 years in the third division, which still really sort of boggles my mind now. A club of that size with that size fan base, that passionate fan base took so long. And I think, like you say, it is the archetypal sleeping giant story. There are many clubs who drop into the second division from the Premier League and they will be called sleeping giants if they're only away for a couple of years. But, you know, Leeds 16 years as low as the third division. They're finally back. They've had a few false dawns. And I think the city is going to be massively reinvigorated already. I'm sure we'll talk about him in more detail, but Marcelo Bielsa obviously arrived a little over 2 years ago now, and he has just awoken the city. I think Radrazzani had done a pretty good job. He arrived a year before Bielsa in sort of setting the foundations, but Bielsa really has captured the imagination of everybody with the quality of football and clearly the amount of wins that he's delivering. He's massively successful with entertaining football. And you would think, in comparison to other clubs that have been promoted in recent years, Leeds have got everything in place to stabilise and really assert themselves in the Premier League and maybe replicate what Wolves have done in the medium term and maybe try and replicate what Sheffield United have done this season.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's where the intrigue of the story, and I think that's probably why it means so much to Leeds United fans, because you did drop down. Leeds United did drop down to the third division. You know, were in administration. They went as low as they could ever really go. So I think when you look now, the rise and where they are again, back in the top flight again, it's remarkable, really. And that's what happens. I mean, you look at Sunderland now, can't get out of League One and yeah. ownership changes. So these things can happen when you don't have the stability. And I think it starts from the top. It becomes very, very difficult, doesn't it? Because over the years, you sold off all any assets. You talk about Beckfords, the Cliff Woods, the Charlie Taylors, Lewis Cook, who I play with at Bournemouth. So it's been tricky, hasn't it? I mean, it's been tricky to get to that stage. And I think what's happened over the last 3-4 years, and you mentioned it, it's got to really start from the ownership because Andrea Rizzani has really come in and bought the club for about 40 odd million, didn't he? So now it looks like the bargain of the century. But he really brought in the stability, didn't he, for them to have that platform to succeed.
Absolutely, Asmir. Yeah, I think in this day and age, as we all know now, as sports fans and football fans, the Premier League is a beast. It's an enormous machine. It's incredibly lucrative for those who can get into the division. That is why the fight for survival is so tense every single season, because if you can remain one of those 20 clubs, your club is going to be very, very profitable. It's going to make a lot of money. And if you're an owner, you obviously then profit from that and the status of that. And I think more and more now, it's obviously becoming harder and harder to go and buy a Premier League club outright. So a lot of these wealthy people who clearly have a passion for football and want to get to that top table, it's becoming more and more attractive now to go into the second division, the Championship, and to purchase a club there where prices are a little bit lower. And clearly you're taking a bit of a financial gamble, as Radrizzani has done. You can go into the Championship and acquire a football club, but then getting out of that division is a very, very different matter. And I think that's the route Radrizzani has taken, as you've said. I think he said in a recent interview, you know, he had actually spoken to Kenny Dalglish, a Liverpool legend, football legend, in passing several years ago. And Kenny had mentioned that Leeds is a sleeping giant. You know, if you were looking at opportunities outside the Premier League, Leeds had everything but the status to get into the Premier League. So I think that's the route he has taken. And as you say, Asmir, he has certainly provided that stability. It didn't take much. I think there's been a lot of mismanagement. It's been really, really tough on the fans here for 16 years. And Massimo Cellino, another Italian, I think his mistakes are well documented. And it's not taken much for Radrizzani to set them on a straighter setting. And he's invested across the board. You know, they've bought back Elland Road, the stadium, so that's now back in the club's hands. They've recently improved the academy up to Category 1 status, which will now obviously put them into Premier League 2. It will improve the quality of training for the youngsters coming through there. It's a top-class facility they've got. And, of course, investment on the pitch has come. Obviously not without sales. I think he's still a businessman. He's still got to run the club responsibly, as I'm sure fans will appreciate based on their recent history. So sales have happened, but as you say, with Lewis Cook as an example, but it has stabilised and it has to come from the top. And thankfully, he has put his money where his mouth is. And I think the biggest difference is that 2 years ago, they decided to put the money into the coaching staff rather than the playing squad necessarily. And that's been the big difference. Bielsa's driven a mid-table squad to the top of the division for 2 years in a row. You know, last year they were very, very close. But across his 2 years, they have clearly been the best team in the second tier.
Baron Cross joining me here in the Season of sports writer for Leeds United Live to talk about one of the biggest sports stories the moment, that's Leeds United promotion to the Premier League. Baron, to follow up on that, obviously you talk about investing in the coaching staff and we have to talk about the man himself, Marcelo Bielsa, because as much as things turn around, the top end where stability was key with the ownership and CEO and Victor Orta and that kind of that side of things, but the coach plays a big role as well. And being able, and I think that again, once again, speaks about the level of Leeds United as a club and the attraction that they are to be attracting Marcelo Bielsa. And I think even Victor Orta was thinking it might be difficult to get some that sort of a name, but maybe he underestimated himself, even the attraction of Leeds United. So 2 years ago, Marcelo Bielsa gets appointed as manager. He's had his ups and downs with people and maybe rubbed some people the wrong way. But his appointment, again, was another huge stepping stone in this process and journey that Leeds United have been on over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's absolutely momentous. And I'm sure history will come to show that Marcelo Bielsa's appointment was one of the big moments in Leeds United's history as a football club. If they do go on now to stabilise as a Premier League club and kick on and achieve where they should be in the footballing ladder, there will be any number of ways that Bielsa will be recognised in history. You know, there's talk of statues and things, but I think we're still a couple of years away from that. It's huge, Asmir. I mean, that decision was really, really massive. As you say, we came away from the 2017-2018 season. Paul Heckingbottom was in charge. Leeds had just finished mid-table yet again, falling short. And Radrozzani, in passing, asked Victor Orta, you know, if money was no object, if status was no object, which coach in the world would you go for to bring into Leeds United? And he said Bielsa. And as you've said, he made it clear it would be difficult. Bielsa doesn't go and work for everybody. He's sort of better known for turning down jobs rather than for taking them. Everything really has to be finely tuned for him to throw everything into a job, because it is so all-consuming. He doesn't do things by half measures. He will... If he wants to commit to you, you will get him 100%. You will get him, you know, 20 hours a day. I mean, I dread to think how little sleep he must get, but he is all in or nothing. And that is why he is so selective with those jobs. He doesn't want to commit to something if he can't throw himself into it. And I think Leeds just ticked enough boxes for him. As you say, it's a sleeping giant. It's a one club city. It's got the fan base. It's away from the London bubble. I think it certainly appeals to him to being in some of the provinces and some of his countries. That's why, you know, Marseille in France, Lille in France, of course, Bilbao, where he's perhaps best known for in Europe. These aren't capital cities. These are clubs who are sort of upper mid-table clubs, maybe. I mean, in Leeds' case, obviously in the second division, but he goes for these unfashionable clubs because they pique his interest. He sees the story. He's a romantic. He believes in, he loves football. He loves a story. And I think he saw the story here. And I think once he was sure that Angus Kinnear, Andrea Radrozzani and Victor Orta were on the same page as him and were willing to meet his demands, he was ready to sign on the dotted line. And we haven't looked back. I think there was a lot of fear. We really didn't know which way it was going to go. As you've said, he's not afraid of upsetting people. He's not afraid of doing things his way. And of course, at some clubs, they simply haven't been willing to give him that level of control in the past. So we did wonder whether it was going to be he'd be out inside 3 months or whether he would do as he has done and be an unqualified success. And thankfully, it's been the latter. But yeah, I think history will hopefully come to show that this man's appointment has really, you know, changed the fortunes of the football club.
No, absolutely. I mean, to be able to draw this sort of a manager, he's a world-class manager, no doubt about it. There's no other way of putting it. Is shows how important that is, right? And given that the level of control, I think that's something you nailed on the head there, is because if you're going to bring this manager, you can then tell him, hey, listen, we're going to do it our way, but you just be the manager. So it really has to be, as you say, a buy-in from the club. It has to be a buy-in from everyone. And that's what gives success. You know, we look at teams now chopping and changing. We look at instability on the field, off the field, and it really there is no way of being able to achieve success in that way. So I think that stability is incredibly important, and well done to everyone at Leeds United. And I know the San Francisco 49ers people involved a little bit as well. So everyone's done a great job. But now I guess looking forward to the Premier League. I mean, Leeds United is going to cause a lot of interest. I guess it's going to be after work done into the squad. Some of his coaching staff is going to be in high demand. I believe Huddersfield are interested in one of his assistant coaches. So how does the next few weeks look here? Because it's unprecedented times. It's a quick turnaround. So there isn't a lot of time really to get things together to be competitive and be probably where Leeds want to be in the Premier League.
Yeah, it's a really good point. It's going to be incredibly busy. You know, this is an unprecedented situation. It could only be Leeds get promoted in the year that we've had a massive shutdown for a global pandemic, and then are given 6 weeks to get their house in order for their return to the Premier League. That really is the Leeds way. Of all years for Leeds to finally do it, it had to be in this manner, which has made us all sort of chuckle in a sort of a gallows humour way. It's just frantic.
It probably wouldn't have happened if it was a normal year.
Exactly. We just, when it all began to surface in March, and Leeds had come over a rocky period, they'd won like five on the bounce. They hadn't conceded a goal. They were just absolutely annihilating everybody. And then, of course, everything started to shut down, and we just knew it. Just we would not be allowed to have it easy. And of course, before we knew the season was coming back, there was, you know, very, very serious talk that football wouldn't return, and there was talk of null and void. And we just thought, this has to be the Leeds way. You know, it can't be done easily. Or why can't they just have a normal season where they win the league? It's just the Leeds way. So no, it's going to be really, really tight. I think if you're looking at the dates, I mean, it's going to be just over 6 weeks till the season starts again. I mean, that is frantic. We haven't even finished this season yet. We haven't done the Champions League yet. And the Premier League is looking at first or second weekend of September. And we're talking about one of the most demanding coaches in the world. I mean, this guy flogs his players all season round. They are the fittest machines you will find. There's not an ounce of fat on them. So we've got Charlton, the final game on Wednesday. Of course, we're champions, so it doesn't really matter too much for us. Charlton are fighting for their lives, so there will be something riding on Wednesday evening. They'll lift the trophy. And then I think Bielsa is going to give them roughly 2 weeks off pretty much from Thursday. So that's going to take us into first week, maybe second week of August. Then he'll get them back in, and it's going to be all guns blazing for those 3 or 4 weeks before the season starts, because he will want them ready. And in the background, I think recruitment and things has already started. They know they cannot rest on their laurels. They cannot wait for things to happen. Bielsa wants players fully integrated and well established with his tactics before he plays them. You may be familiar with the Jean-Kevin Augustin narrative. Came in from RB Leipzig on loan in January with an obligation to buy him with promotion, which which is maybe another matter for another day. But that was a signing that came in January, and he just couldn't cope with the intensity of the training. And he played, I think, 49 minutes in the end before his body broke down for good, and lockdown then finished his chances off. So if they're going to acquire players, they've got to do it quickly, because Bielsa will want them in the squad, well set up, very fit, before he even thinks about playing them. So if they want to bring somebody in, want them to play in that first game in the Premier League, they will need to be done early. And it's funny, we speak today, Asmir. We actually spoke to Andrea Radrazzani this morning. He did a conference call with the local media here, and he's already in a meeting today. You know, he's meeting people today about players for next season. Angus Kinnear, the chief executive, we spoke to him on Saturday, and he reiterated that, you know, the work starts today, Monday morning. There's very, very little doubt about Bielsa signing on, but technically at this stage, he hasn't actually signed a new contract. Now, we all believe that will not be an issue at all, but as we've already alluded to, he will need his demands meeting. He will want reassurances that X, Y, and Z will be done before he commits to another year. But nobody seriously thinks he's going to walk away after getting them into the Premier League. So it's going to be a very, very fast turnaround. It could be a blessing in disguise. Bielsa is a very, very loyal guy. He doesn't make many team changes. You may be familiar with that. He tends to only change his team for suspensions or injury. You know, he is very, very loyal. He really gives his players every single chance to play their way back into form. You know, just one example, Patrick Bamford is the team's main striker. He's quite a divisive figure among the fans. At one stage last season, he went 10 matches without scoring a goal. Now, when you've got the likes of Alexander Mitrovic, Ollie Watkins scoring goals for fun at their rivals, the spotlight is very much on Bamford, but Bielsa stuck with him. We had the likes of Eddie Nketiah on loan from Arsenal on the bench, banging on the door to get a start. But Bielsa stuck with Bamford. And I just wonder if that loyalty may well bode well for them when the new season starts, because he's going to want to go with probably 85 to 90% of this team in the Premier League. He will want to give the vast majority of them a chance in the Premier League. So yeah, that tactical familiarity will be there. That fitness will be there. That trust will be there. So, I would be surprised if there's more than two or three new players in that starting lineup for when the Premier League starts.
That's, you know, we talked about that loyalty, which I think is important. That continuity is very important. We'll see how his coaching staff remains intact. And as you say, there's no way he's going to leave, I guess you can say. But obviously that has to be something that has to be formalized. I mean, where in the squad do you see improvements that can be made? Do you think it's more just bulking it out a little bit, just because to cope with the demands of the Premier League and the games and this shorter calendar this year?
That's definitely the narrative that follows Bielsa around. When he first came in, the squad was quite bloated. There was a lot of fat to be cut from the bone. A lot of players who clearly were never going to get a chance under Bielsa. And it's almost his way of being cruel to be kind. He doesn't want to, you know, keep players hanging around a football club they're not going to play for. He doesn't want to waste their time. You know, time is clearly precious for every footballer. And he's just very honest with people. He's very blunt. And I would like to think most people can relate to that. And as long as he's honest with them. So he trimmed the squad right down. They have roughly 18 senior first-team players who you would consider experienced players who could start any given game. And then beyond that, it's supplemented with under 23 players, which, you know, thankfully for him, Leeds United have got a fantastic academy and have regularly produced, you know, some of the best players in the Premier League in recent years. I mean, that maybe the best examples your listeners will be aware of will be the likes of Fabian Delph, Lewis Cook, James Milner. These, you know, these are internationals, full internationals that Leeds have created from on their own doorstep. So thankfully, Bielsa does have some very good youngsters to draw upon when he needs to. So in terms of bulking the squad out for the Premier League, I think players will need to leave if players are going to arrive. So I think he will run with a small squad. And I'm sure when new journalists start covering Leeds who haven't followed them in the Championship, they will ask that question of him. You know, why are you running with such a small squad? This is such a demanding season if you want to have cut runs as well. You know, you need more players, but that's just not the way he does it. You know, he always expects there to be no more than 3, 4, or 5 players unavailable for injury or suspension, and he thinks he will always have enough players there to supplement for their absences. So Ben White is possibly the story to watch this summer. Anybody who has watched Leeds in any great detail will know he has been absolutely astonishing. You know, he's come from nowhere. He's on loan from Brighton and Hove Albion. Unfortunately, Leeds do not have an option on him to sign him permanently. So he will return to Brighton, and with them surviving, I think they've got a good chance of keeping hold of him and trying to make him a part of their side. But believe me, Asmir, he's been so good that I would not be surprised if a top six club comes in for him. From what I'm led to believe, Liverpool and Man City haven't missed a game of his for about 6 months. So if you look at the likes of John Stones, who, of course, Guardiola took on quite early at City, this is the sort of mould Ben White is in. He's that good. So I would not be surprised at all if a big six club comes in and takes him away from both Leeds and Brighton. But that's the big one. I think up here, realistically, we find it quite hard to believe he'll come back because of how much interest there'll be and because Brighton will stay up. So a top quality centre-back is an absolute essential purchase they'll need. We're led to believe they're looking at maybe the cream of the crop from the Championship. So again, referring to Sheffield United, they've clearly set a bit of a model for these clubs that, as you've said a few times now, stability is key. And I think if you can stick to tried and tested players in the English leagues, that may well be a way to go rather than going for these expensive foreign risks. And maybe even a few of the players getting relegated. I mean, I like the look of the likes of Ben Godfrey at Norwich, Tyrone Mings at Villa if they get relegated. These are the sorts of players that I would not be surprised if Leeds went for. Aside from centre-back, I think they're pretty well set, to be honest. I mean, that is how loyal he is. Bamford will come under a lot of criticism again. It's hard to say he's been prolific in the Championship, and if you're stepping up into the Premier League, it's even harder to believe that he's suddenly going to start delivering 20 goals a season in the Premier League. And he's had various dalliances with the Premier League in the past, and it hasn't quite worked out. But he's, of course, older, more experienced now with a far, far superior coach. So I think he will almost certainly start an attack. You've got Helder Costa is now a permanent signing from Wolves. He will almost certainly start down the right. Jack Harrison has signed again on another loan deal from Man City. He will start down the left. You've got Mateusz Klich, who's actually his run of 92 consecutive league starts ended on Sunday at Derby, unfortunately. So he is a tireless engine in the middle of the park. Pablo Hernandez has got the guile and the flair, but he's 35 now, and I think they're going to start managing his minutes. So there's a maybe an opening in the middle of the park there, depending on how Adam Forshaw does. He's recovering from a hip injury. Calvin Phillips is the crown jewels. He's the defensive midfielder. Gareth Southgate has mentioned Calvin Phillips personally. So that's the sort of quality you've got there in the middle of the park. Liam Cooper is the captain. He will obviously stay at centre-half. The fullbacks are very good. Luke Ayling at right-back. Stuart Dallas is possibly player of the year at left-back, although he's not a natural left-back. So there's a possibility they may well want to go and look for a more naturally left-footed fullback in that position. As I say, there's a gaping hole at centre-back if Ben White doesn't return. And then in goal, there's an interesting dynamic there, of course. Everybody's well aware of the Kiko Casilla narrative this season. He's finally back from his ban for the alleged racism towards Jonathan Lecco earlier in the season. He's now in his mid-30s, spent a lot of his career in Spain, still doesn't speak a whole lot of English. He's only been in Leeds for 18 months. I don't think any of us would be too surprised if he wanted to now return to Spain and maybe finish his career there, despite the fact he's got a couple more years on his contract here. So that's an interesting decision they've got to make. Ilan Meslier is the young French understudy who's come in during the ban, and he's been brilliant. As you all know, Asmir, you know, you're going to get tested much more in the Premier League than you will in the Championship. So time will tell. But, you know, again, I would not be surprised if Bielsa wanted to go with Meslier, you know, despite the fact he's a young French guy in his early 20s with, you know, very little top flight experience. So, as I say, you're looking at two, maybe three new signings tops to go into the starting 11.
Well, it's interesting times ahead, Baron. I mean, really appreciate you taking the time to talk about Leeds United. I mean, it's a huge story. You know, it's, I think it's well overdue for all of us football fans, people involved. Everyone wants to see Leeds in the top level and competing as the very best. So interesting times, exciting times for the local area up there. So well done on everything. I hope you guys enjoy the rides. It's going to be a lot of fun for sure. And thanks again for joining me here on the Season of Sports. Make sure you guys follow Baron. He's on Twitter. He's the sports writer for Leeds United Live. So get all the Leeds United insights information through Baron. But appreciate your time. Thank you, Baron.
Thanks, man. I think that was okay. Hope I didn't babble on too much. Obviously, there's a lot going on at the moment, a lot of information overload. But you know, appreciate your time. Thank you for having me.
That was awesome. Thank you. Stay safe and take care. Well, that was a brilliant episode. Baron Cross from Leeds discussing this big story in the world of football. I think, you know, we all as football fans can't wait to see Leeds back in the top flight. And once fans are involved back in it, there's not many better places to play than Elland Road and what it means to be up there. So that's going to be a lot of fun, really great insights. And this is going to be a huge story for the next few weeks. So really good to get the insight from Baron Cross here. Make sure you follow him on Leeds United Live, and the page is there, and he's obviously Twitter, so it's going to be great. But hope you guys enjoy this episode. Really appreciate it. Keep listening to us, Audio Boom, Spotify, iTunes, where Anchor, wherever you get your podcast from, we're all there. Leave us a review. It would be awesome to get those official reviews in and help us out. So we appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll be back with you very, very soon.